It may be a fair comment that one thing that God said to the people of Israel in Joshua chapter 3 is stating the obvious. But when somebody states the obvious, it is often because we disregard it, however obvious it might be. Today, now, this time of the day, we're almost through the first day of a new year, a day that we often take to mark things and mark the time, passing of time, a day that we use to anticipate what may be ahead. And from tomorrow, holiday apart, we will be starting on the daily activities of the year. And perhaps your diaries and calendars and planners are already, yes, planners, they're already filling up with plans, things to do. But of all those things, how much of it is it really possible to say you know will take place? Perhaps it has become a little bit of a cliche for some people, but it is something that the Word of God itself instructs us to do, that when we speak of our plans and we look at our plans, we are to do it, adding, if the Lord wills. James chapter 4. Because I don't know what will happen even in this next minute. We might have our expectations. We might have our plans. But do you know? And that's perhaps the other side to this morning's nothing new under the sun. That is still true. But of all those old things that Ecclesiastes, the preacher, spoke about, the things that have happened in ancient times, of all those things, which of them is going to take place again? Which one when? Who knows? Who knows? Very often we come out with that as a bit of a cliche, and we say, who knows? Let's answer that question, because that's what the Bible does. It reminds us that God knows. And this passage reminds us that God knows, although man doesn't. I think these are very striking words that God said to Joshua and to the people of Israel 3,000 or so years ago, that still do apply to us. The people already had their marching orders. They had already been told that they were to cross the river, enter the land, go in, possess the land, destroy the people. Destroy the people because their time is ready, their sins are full. They already had that instruction. They had their leader, Joshua. They also had a very substantial obstacle in front of them, that flooded river. And all of those things, we have them as well. You have your marching orders. The Bible is there. It tells you how life is to be lived. The marching orders are there. You have your leader, Christ Jesus. And he gives those in his church who are leaders also. But we have our obstacles too, don't we? The way ahead of us is roughly mapped out for us. And if we follow God's instruction, he will also guide us step by step. As we ask ourselves, what would please him? But there are those obstacles as well. Some large, some small. Some move, some don't. And so there are very substantial parallels. We are men as well, as Joshua and the people were. They are men just as we are. What is it that you are going to do in this year ahead? Perhaps this is the point that you need to start with. At some point in your life, you need to consider this. You need to. It's in God's Word. You must meditate on it, understand, and seek to apply it. And I think we can make application of it this evening. And I would put it in these terms: where God has said you have not passed this way before, it's a new road. But also in this passage we find that God makes a promise to lead. And then he calls his people to be ready to follow. It's all very simple, really. Really, very elementary, perhaps. But how important it is that we do make sure we have a grasp of it. To remember, it is a new road. This evening is a new road. You have not passed that way before. So is tomorrow. And so on. But God will lead. So be sure you're ready to follow. It's a new road. It was for Israel. They were there on the east side of the Jordan River. It wasn't the normal way to enter the land of Canaan. And they find that great river between them. Just as it was with them, whatever is ahead of you, you have to recognize that you have not passed this way before. Yes, there is the round of life that we heard of this morning, but the precise details, you have not been this way before. The next step is, in the final analysis, one that you have not taken before. However familiar things might seem to be, it's so important not to presume on the way ahead of you. Have you heard a driver sometimes say to you, "Oh, it's all right, I know the road." I wonder just how wise that is sometimes. Sometimes it is said in a way that means it has no surprises for me. But you could be driving down one of these country lanes here that you're so familiar with, and a fox could jump out, or a pheasant, or something. That road that you're so familiar with, given our weather and conditions and so on, a new pothole might suddenly have appeared. A cyclist in dark clothes. Yes, you know the road, but on that particular moment, that particular occasion, what is that road going to bring? So much more than just on driving these lanes and highways, so much more for our way through life. When God spoke to Joshua, yes, there was that flooded river in front of him. When he spoke to Joshua, it was, initially at least, it was less about there's this almost impossible obstacle in front of you. That's not what he was concerned about. The first thing he was concerned about with Joshua is you haven't passed this way before. That's what matters first. And the things around that. This is new to you. Yes, there's nothing new under the sun. But this is a new road. A new step. A new year. As so often with Bible things, there are two things to take into account. So your way, for this evening, for tomorrow, for next week, for the year, you haven't passed that way before. Now God says that to the people of Israel, and he makes a response, his own response to that. And it is, he says, "I will lead you." He says this by saying, he's given them some instructions, and in the middle of verse 4 he says, "That, it's in order that, for this reason, that you may know the way by which you must go." He's going to do something. He requires something from them as well, which we will see. But he's doing something so that they can know the way for them to go. They haven't been that way before, but he will lead them. That's signified here, his intention to lead them on the way. This is all about his work among them. It was Joshua himself who commented in the following verse. He gave them instruction and he said, "The reason you must sanctify yourselves is tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." It's his work. If you are to know the way to go, it's by the Lord's wonders. The whole path was not explained to them. He only told them one part at a time. Perhaps it's a little bit to continue the image of driving this. A sat-nav system will tell you one step at a time, more or less. You might plug in the destination, but it'll take you one step at a time. But this is something different. They have their limitations because of that. Whereas God tells them one step at a time, well, he knows the whole way. He seeks that they should follow him each step of the way as they are able. And he will not fail in the way that he leads. Remember who it is. He is the one who is all wise. As Paul mentioned in 1 Corinthians 3. He knows both the destination you need to reach and the way, the most profitable way to reach it. It's not just that there's a great home prepared for you in Christ Jesus, there's also the great benefits of going along the way that he sets. Isn't this the sense of Joshua's call to the people when he speaks further down, a few verses further down in verse 10, "By this you shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you these peoples. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth is crossing over before you into the Jordan." Look who it is who's speaking with you. And the things that he's about to do are to demonstrate to you and assure you not only of the step that he's opening up before you, but also of what will be accomplished beyond here. And in all the years since Joshua, in all the journeys of all men through life, your journeys through life, and all the various details of those journeys, the Lord remains the same. And he is always ready to lead those who will follow. Not only is he ready, he's able to, because he is the all-wise one. If you were to take, whether it's a sat-nav or a map, and you were to try and work out your journey from one starting point to a destination, somebody who knows the way, who knows the area, may be able to plot out and may be able to say to you, well, this would actually be a better way. It's the Lord all-wise who knows the ways of this world, who knows the lives of man, who looks upon us, and he will show not only that destination, but also the best way. It's as it was for Israel then, so it is for you and for me. The way might look like a dead end. In one of the Psalms we sang, 66, it talks about God parting the waters of the sea. We've just read how he stopped the waters of this great river. Before those things happened, do you remember the story of the sea? They had the army behind them. They had the sea in front of them. They thought they were dead. It was a dead end. So is this. Where do we go? No way through. But God says, watch, and you will know the way. Why? He can say that because he will show them the way. He will lead the way. The way is unknown to me, to you. You have not passed this way before, but he looks down on it. He sees it, he knows it, and he will guide. And so perhaps especially in the light of this, we have a number of instructions in this passage about getting ready to follow. If I don't know the way, I need someone to show me the way. God says, I will show you the way. Well, what happens next? If he goes on that way, he opens the way, will I follow? Will I walk in that way? Get ready to follow. And there are several things in this passage, and three in particular. First of all, there is that instruction to get up and follow. In verse 3, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. You get up, follow. What? The Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God? Covenant, how God speaks to man and makes his promises, his commitment, and and such things. And the priests, the Levites, the priests, remember, were the first spiritual leaders. There was Moses, of course, but apart from that, they were appointed. They were the ones who were not only to bring the sacrifices from man to God, but they were to take God's word to man. They were to be the teachers, the transmitters of God's word in the New Testament age in which we live. It's the word of God that has this place, both what it's written and the word of God in the flesh, Christ Jesus himself. He has gone before us. You see these things, set out from your place and go after it. What does Christ require of his disciples? It is to take up your cross and follow him. It's not for the people of Israel to see this and say, well, I'm going to race ahead and I'll see it at the closest quarters. I'll beat them to it. I'll anticipate. Nor were they to lag too far behind. They were to go after it. You simply need to follow. What did he say to his disciples? Follow me. What did they do? They put down their nets and they followed him. Get moving. That's one thing. Be ready to follow. To follow. Be ready as well by watching. There is that watching, so that when you see the Ark of the Covenant coming through, get up and be busy. But there was more to it than that. As they were to follow, there was also to be a watching of what was to happen. And I would put it this way, that they were especially to be patiently observing. Observing being, not just seeing with your eyes, but registering, drawing in, and learning from what's going on. I think there's a very true to life instruction here. There will be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Now, if you stop there, you might think, well, this is about keeping a distance from the ark, a distance of holiness. But this is a long way. It's about 1,000 yards, roughly. This isn't saying anything about that. I think it is rather that he is giving this instruction, because he says in the second part of the verse, do not come near it, that, this key word, that, so that, there's a reason behind it, so that you may know the way by which you must go. It is by standing back from it that you, the nation, will know where to go. That you can all see. That you can all watch the direction. You can also all watch what God is accomplishing. Which is the further thing that Joshua had to say. Tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. But you need to all be able to see. Not everybody crowding in. You ever been at a crowded event and there's somebody there who just seems to have those elbows that work. And they also seem to have a mind that says, I need to be at the front. And you end up getting pushed back or something. Israel could have been very similar. Perhaps there's a gentle hint here that no one's to be left behind. Everyone is to be able to see this. Stand back. Don't worry that you'll miss out. Yes, there's quite a distance here. But all will be in good time. This is an important part of the whole process. So that you, indeed everyone, will be able to watch and understand. To see how this is unfolding. And that to bear in mind that assurance that Joshua gives, it's through seeing all this and then taking part in it, even as they went through the river, by this you will know that the living God is among you. There is a tremendous lesson in itself how God does this work as he appoints these priests. And while they were taken from a particular tribe and they were qualified by being part of that tribe, yet there's a tremendous demonstration of faith here. They were to step into that flooded river, and it was then that God would open the way. And the people were to see that. What a demonstration in itself that would be. And so that they would have that assurance of God's help in all that was ahead of them. The third thing that I think we find here in preparation is very specifically said, Joshua says in verse 5, sanctify yourselves. tomorrow you will see the Lord do wonders among you. Sanctify or consecrate yourselves. I think this is about being in a condition that is fitting for the Lord's presence and work. The Lord is going to do wonders. He's going to do a mighty work among you, this people. You need to be people of God for that time. God and his work is not run-of-the-mill. It's not the stuff that's just under the sun. Yes, those are a part of his work, but he goes far beyond that. His work is not just one of the things that just passes on by. His work is on a different scale altogether. I must be very clear that if I plead for God to work in great ways, I must do it, as Psalm 24 says, as one who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully. It's then, Psalm 24 says, that I can ascend into the hill of God, or stand in his holy place, and where he does such a mighty work, where that Ark of the Covenant is to come through and open the way before the people. That's the holiness of God, his great distinctiveness at work. Sanctify yourselves. To follow the Lord. You can perhaps think of a number of Bible characters who did follow the Lord. There were the disciples I mentioned. There are those who walked with the Lord. Enoch is the best that we know of. But Micah tells us that there is a way that is there for all men to walk with the Lord. It is humbly. That's what the Lord requires of us, to walk humbly with our God, amongst other things. But that humility is that mind that was in Christ Jesus, as we learnt not so long ago in Philippians chapter 2. That's what we're called to. Have this mind which is in you. It is something that God makes possible in man's mind, man's heart, man's life. But as we would seek a great work, according to God's leading, that we also must sanctify ourselves. Now, as you and I do set out on this year, we can't deny that you have not passed this way before. So how are you going to keep in the right way? How are you going to keep to the way through which God can do his work in and through you, as he did with faithful Israel? Let's just very quickly retrace what we have seen here. It is by very deliberately and constantly confessing your ignorance of what is ahead. That's a humble spirit. James says that. He says, don't go out in pride, but go out as you plan things, if the Lord wills. Make that confession. I'm ignorant. I have not passed this way before. I do not know what's ahead. But along with that, again, deliberately and constantly, establish yourself in confidence that the Lord does know, and that the Lord is pleased to lead. And then follow these preparations to be obedient to God's word. And where he says, go, go. Cultivate patience, that standing back. That's the way I would understand this. Do walk where you know, as God's word guides you. But be someone who waits as well, and be careful for those around you, that they too might see the ways of God. And then that sanctify yourself, or as James puts it, keeping yourself unspotted from the world, which is pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father. Then we can enter into the presence of God, and he can do his great works. You may know the way by which you must go, although you have not passed this way before. May he bless his word to us this evening. Let us pray together.